Malachi 4, 2. I want to read Malachi 4, 2. This is not a long passage. I'm taking a concept from this passage, and we're going to talk about it. It's Malachi 4, 2 says this. But for you who revere my name, or you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. So Malachi 4 is an ideal passage to preach from when you are preaching about Advent. An Advent season. In fact, I think I did preach about this passage in the Advent season, taking actually the whole passage, I think, the whole chapter. But I want to zero in this one verse. The whole chapter speaks about the first coming and the second coming. So it's a very good passage to preach about Advent. But today I'm just going to look at this verse 2, because it has an interesting metaphor. This metaphor of the sun, this figure of speech, that's what a metaphor is. It's almost like it uses a word or a description as an illustration, and the metaphor itself carries a lot of meaning. Now, there are a lot of names for Christ in Scripture, and each name for Christ has a different aspect of his ministry or his character. But this metaphor is a name for Christ. Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, Son of Righteousness. It's a metaphorical name that has a lot of meaning about the person of Christ and the work of Christ. But all of them together point to one central truth, and I'm going to try to put that central truth into a sentence that I can use interchangeably with S-U-N or S-O-N, and you'll see what I mean when I read it. Here's the sentence. Willingly or not, everyone, everywhere is touched by God's S-U-N. Willingly or not, everyone, everywhere is touched by God's S-O-N. Now, is this really true? This is the theme of this message, but is this really true? Is this metaphor a true name for Christ? S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness. The Son like the solar sun. Is he like the Son of Righteousness? Is this a true description of Christ? Well, let's see as we look at this. First of all, let's talk about the light of the Son of Righteousness. Now, first of all, what about the real sun? Well, when do most people go to work? In the daytime, don't they? Now, I know there are people work at nighttime, but when the sun is up, the world starts waking up and getting back to work, and it's because work needs sight, and sight needs light. There are people like myself that work at night, but I work under light. And if we don't have light, we're really in trouble. There was a lady walking in for a scheduled C-section, and every Sunday morning, this was last week, every Sunday morning, the light go out for a few seconds as they test the generator, see if the generator will kick in. The engineers do this every Sunday morning, and she should have known that. But this secretary was not anticipating that, and a lady was just walking in, and the lights went out, totally darkness for a few seconds, and she went, ah! And the lady was out of the C-section was, ah! Scared. And they reprimanded her and said, don't you remember that there's a... She said, oh, I forgot, but I'm so scared of it. We don't want to work in the dark. We don't want to be... And in those hospitals, there's no windows, you know, just these lights ahead. It was scary. Okay, well, anyway, we have to work in the light. We have to work in the light. And sight, which requires light, is very pressing. Isn't it, Anne? It's very pressing. You miss the sight that you don't have because... There's such visual beauty in nature, in the starry sky and facial expressions, in an art gallery of paintings or sculptures or what, flowery meadows that you see in nature. All very beautifully beautiful visual. Now there's sense that are, and there's touch and those kind of things, but sight is a very precious thing.
But if we have sight but we don't have light, then our sight is not useful. We're just like a person who doesn't have vision, who is blind or going blind. Well, here's another question. When do people not like to go out? I don't want to go out because it's night. Well, things happen at night. First of all, more people trip and fall at night, or in the dark anyway, than they do when there's light, right? They trip over things that they didn't know was there. I tripped one time on a skateboard. It was a black skateboard, and I walked out and I stepped up. My kids were in the skateboard. And off I went, and I landed, and I had on my rear end a bruise that was this big. I didn't have to go to the hospital or anything, but boy, did it hurt. Yeah, we don't want to be in the dark and trip over things. So at nighttime, when is cars usually stolen? Every car that I've ever seen or heard about stolen is not usually in broad daylight. It's usually in this, well, there are some people very bold, but it's usually at night when they just get in and take cars and so on. Mine was stolen one time at nighttime. Well, let's look then at the Son of Righteousness. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." You know, Jesus is about revealing true life. He wants to reveal it. He wants to put the light upon true life. He is revealing the light of life. If you walk in the light of Christ, you are receiving the light of life. And this true life is abundant life. Abundant life. Now, he said that he was the light of the world. He was not just a local prophet. You know, he was like the sun. S-U-N. The Sun of Righteousness is like the sun. It's the light for the whole world. Not just a local light. And then John chapter 9, verse 4 and 5, Jesus said, "As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Now, he said something interesting there. He said, we must do the work. We. Why did he say we? It's because he also said in Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world." And verse 16, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify and praise your Father in heaven." You see, daytime and work go together. But what we're talking about here is Jesus saying, "I am the light, and I want you to reflect my light. Since I'm the light of the world, then you are the light of the world because you're to reflect my light." And that is what we are about as Christians. And we must work while it is day in the light of God's Son, the works that will render glory and praise to God. And then, in John chapter 3, verse 19, this is very interesting. I'm reading this from the New American Standard Bible. "And this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, and that his deeds may be manifest as having been wrought in God." You see, everyone gets a chance. Everyone gets a chance to have the sunlight. And everyone gets a chance to have the sun's light, the S-O-N, sun's light. And they have a chance to stand in the light of the Son of Righteousness, willingly or not. They get to choose, willingly or not. We get to choose. Because it's something that's going to happen. The light will be revealed. The Son of Righteousness is coming. And this parallel, there's so many illustrations about light. For instance, chlorophyll and how it responds to light. And that's how we have life on this planet. It's from chlorophyll producing carbohydrates so the animal world can eat those things. And those who eat animals and so on live off of that, or there are other scavengers and so on that live off of other animals or what, but it's all about sunlight bringing light into this planet. So there's so many illustrations, but this is just a small parallel about light. We could go into more of it in detail, but we didn't need to move along. God's Son said in Matthew chapter 5, he said, the Father in heaven causes his Son to rise on the evil and on the good. God doesn't play favorites. He doesn't have favoritism. And he, just like the sun's light reaches everyone on the planet, it reaches the whole world, so Christ, it says in John, is the true light that gives light to every man. Everyone gets the light of the Son of Righteousness, willingly or not. Everyone everywhere is touched by God's Son. And that exposure gives us a choice to make. Let's move on to the heat of the sun. Now, that's a little bit different than light. Some people think it's the same. It's not. It's not the same. Light is only one facet of the heat of the sun. Let's think about the sun for a minute. The sun is an intense furnace. It's a continuous hydrogen bomb explosion reverting back into an atomic reaction that again reverts back into a hydrogen explosion. There are two ways that energy is released from atoms. One is when the atoms actually split and divide, and then energy is released. Tremendous. It's the atom bomb energy. But even more energy is released when atoms that have been split apart come back together and are fused together in a fusion process. The other one's called fission, and the H-bomb phenomenon is a fusion. And a tremendous, tremendous amount of energy released from small little particles as they fuse back together again, and that happens all the time in the sun. It is a gigantic furnace. I don't know how hot it is, but it is so, so hot that you can't get close to the sun without just being scorched to a cinder. Well, the sun's energy is sent out by radiation. And part of the radiation is called light that our eyes can see. But there's a whole facet and gamut of radiation that is sent out from the sun like heat. In fact, if you want to understand this a little bit, if you walk into a room and it's sort of dark, but you feel heat coming from someplace, and it feels like it's on your cheek, and you go over and you find, oh, there's a radiant warmer, and it has a sort of an incandescent, very light, sort of orange-colored filament that is producing heat, and it's radiating off of a mirror, and it feels like it's touching your face, but you're not seeing any light. Well, just a small amount, but not enough to light up anything, and you feel the heat on your cheek. Have you ever felt that? That's called radiant energy, and that's what's contained in the sun. The sun's radiant energy is powerful, and it takes, at the speed of light, which is very, very rapid, it takes 8 minutes for it to reach us. But when it reaches us, it warms things up. It's not the sunlight itself. It's the radiant energy. The radiant energy. And there's various degrees of it that are invisible. But what's interesting is our exact distance from the sun is not too close and not too far away. If it was any closer, we would burn up. If it was any farther away, we would freeze. And we get a little bit of an indication of what that means by the tilt of our planet, because we are, in a sense, tilted for half the year a little closer, or tilted the other half the year a little farther away because of the tilt of the Earth as it rotates around the sun. And so we understand just how a little bit closer it gets us really hot in the summertime, and a little bit farther gets us really close. So if our planet was moved a couple of Earth distances away, just the width of the Earth, a couple of distances away, we would freeze. If it was moved a couple of distances of the span of the Earth closer, we would burn up. We would burn up. And so you see that it's the distance, the seasonal distance, still is something about the power of the sun's radiant energy and heat. Now, what about the Son of Righteousness? Because this passage talks about the Son of Righteousness, and it talks about the first coming and the second coming. And the first verse here that precedes this verse is talking about the second coming. in Malachi, it's a day of judgment, of fiery indignation of God. And here's what it says in Malachi 4:1, the verse that precedes it. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. On all of the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. That's God's day of cosmic cleaning. He's cleaning house on God's cosmic cleaning day. And that day is coming, and it's like the sun. It's like the sun coming a little closer to us in this aspect of judgment. You know, some people say, well, when will right finally be done? When will justice be done? It's very interesting, this word righteousness, son of righteousness. It can be translated son of justice. Son of justice. Righteousness. The word righteousness. Right will finally, eventually, be done on Judgment Day. And there are those on Judgment Day who will not be able to stand in the presence of the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N of Righteousness. They won't be able to stand in that day. Well, how about Christians? How will we fare being very close to the Son of Righteousness? Well, what does it say in this verse as we look at verse 2? But for you who revere my name, that's going to happen to the wicked because of the Son of Righteousness. But you who revere my name, for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and in some translations, in his wings, because they know it's speaking of Christ. And you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Someday we are going to be set free. Totally set free when Jesus comes back again. But this was really about his first coming and the healing that was happening in his first coming. Our God is a consuming fire, it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. Our God is a consuming fire. But that fiery energy of God is mediated to us through Christ as life more abundant. Just like at the right location, if you are in the right location, as the earth is, then the sun is a blessing, and it gives life to the planet. It warms the planet. It gives us what we have, an ability in this atmosphere to live and survive and to grow. But if we're in the wrong location, that's not the case. Our God is a consuming fire. That fiery energy has been turned into life more abundant in Christ Jesus. And just as the earth is at the right location for a relationship to the sun, S-U-N, for life to exist, and Christians are in a right relationship to the Son of Righteousness so that we might have spiritual life. The right location. We are in the right location. We are in Christ Jesus. That's what a Christian is, by faith, in Christ Jesus. Well, sunlight makes plants grow. Sun is responsible for evaporating water from a briny ocean, and then it's responsible, and it causes the wind to blow to carry those rain clouds over land so that plants can be watered. But the Son of Righteousness created the solar sun that does all of that. Jesus was with the Father in the beginning, and it said that it's through him that he created, through the Word that he created, through his Word, the Son of God, that he created all things. And just as with the solar sun, willingly or not, everyone everywhere is touched by God's S-U-N and by God's S-O-N. And when he became flesh, in the incarnation, when Jesus became flesh in the incarnation, he brought the fiery energy of God down to us, not to destroy, but to give life, and to give it more abundantly for all who would receive him. Let's look at healing. The healing of the Son of Righteousness. He says he will rise with healing in his wings. Well, what about the real sun? Did you know that ancient architects used to have to study medicine in order to learn how to build. They used to have to study medicine. Do you know why? And I'm talking about the ancient architects of Egypt and of Rome, especially in Greece. They had to study medicine because in medicine was included as a therapy sunlight. Sunlight was supposed to be for the health of people. And so they had to build buildings, the architects had to build buildings that were sun-friendly, sunlight-friendly, and in order to be healthy for the public. Well, that was forgotten over the years until it was rediscovered, I guess maybe off and on down through history, but really rediscovered in a big way in the 1800s. And at that time, 1800s and early 1900s, sunlight was again started to be used in medical treatment for tuberculosis especially and for healing of wounds during wartime. And in a lot of other ways that, in fact, some cancers were treated this way. And then came antibiotics, and when antibiotics came in, that therapy went away from the literature. And it's not been used since very much since then. But today's research is starting to show how the sunlight is healthy. Not only getting in the sun in a moderate way is necessary for our health, and there's a list of chronic diseases, especially osteoporosis, which I think everybody here knows about. Osteoporosis is one of the problems that people experience by lack of sunlight. So a moderate sunlight in the morning, moderate sunlight in the evening on as much of your full body as you can get. Maybe if you want to go down to the pool and go outside, don't go through glass. You've got to get it out where you're really directly involved in sunlight. And let the sun be on you for 15 to 20 minutes and catch some of those rays, because they're actually stored in your body. The vitamin D that it makes is actually stored that you cannot get as well through diet. That's my little nurse's health lesson. But this was true. This is true. The research is in today, and it's helping. In fact, they found out that the eye, without glasses, you just need to take the glasses off and get some sunlight. Sunlight, not directly look at the sun, but be in sunlight so that you're seeing light that gets into the eye. And it does something to the pituitary that makes it produce things that help your body stay in health. And that's an amazing, amazing thing. And the sun is a friendly thing. It's really got a bad name lately. The sun, don't get in the sun. It's dangerous. It's called cancer. Actually, there's some cancers that are cured by getting into the sunlight. And very few that people experience those things, and they just need to check with their doctor if they start having problems. But now, how does the Son of God, as the Son of Righteousness, rise with healing in his wings? Well, Jesus began his ministry healing minds through his teaching, and healing bodies and healing hearts or emotions through his touch. That was representative of Christ's ministry. But then, as he came to the end of his ministry, he was lifted up on the cross. He said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me." All men. The whole world will be drawn to me as someone is drawn to sunlight with healing. Because God was to rise up and bring healing to the nations. And if you'll remember the illustration, Jesus said, "I must be lifted up as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness." There's a symbol for medicine, and it's a snake that's wrapped around a rod. And there was a rod that Moses, when the snakes were biting, a plague of snakes were biting the people, and Moses was supposed to, went before the God and said, "Please, Lord, stop the plague." He said, "Take a snake, wrap it on a rod, and stick it up. Whoever looks at the snake will be healed." And that's what happened. And in that sense, Jesus was lifted up. He said, "Just as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, I will be lifted up." And he was lifted up for the healing of the nation. He was lifted up to pay for our sins, to actually crush death and destroy death by his rising power. Because he was raised again in resurrection. This rising is often seen. He rose in ministry. He rose to the cross. He rose in resurrection. And finally, he ascended, he rose back to heaven, which was a prelude for the Holy Spirit's coming. And the Holy Spirit today is still ministering the healing power of Jesus. The Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, is in the healing business. And he's doing that even today. Well, none of us can avoid that coming day, the second coming. You know, some people have to stay out of the sun for various health reasons. There are some people with problems. We took care of a girl who had to stay inside. She couldn't get out in the sunlight. At least that's what she told us. I have some doubts about that sometimes. But she said that she couldn't. And there might be people who try to avoid the sun, but they can't avoid all the influences of the sunlight. They can't. You can't avoid it. You can't. You have to. We depend on this planet anyway. We depend on the sun's light. But even more, we depend on the Son of Righteousness. And eventually, no one will be able to escape. Willingly or not, everyone, everywhere will be touched by the Son of Righteousness, by God's Son. But may we always anticipate that touch willingly. May we as Christians rejoice in the light of God's Son, the Son of Righteousness, all of our days. And every time you see the sun, like a sunshiny day today, I hope you'll remember this message. I hope you remember that Jesus is the Son, S-E-N, of righteousness. Father God, thank you for your love to us, your watch care. By giving us the sun, Lord, the S-U-N, the solar sun, you have blessed us in many ways. Many things have been written about the sun that are really a praise to you. And some people have actually worshipped the sun when really they need to be worshipping the maker, the giver of the sun, as you have given it to us. Lord, help us to look at the sun, S-U-N, and realize that it is the power behind it, and the power that we need in our lives is from the excellent, the Son of Righteousness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.